Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Lost in America, episode 245. My name's Turner Sparks.
I'm Mordechai Kaplan.
Yes.
Shana Tova.
Coming to you on Rosh Hashanah.
Yes.
You can find me on tour all this fall. I'm going to be, check it out, turnersparks.com. I will be in Dallas, Texas, September 16th with Andrew Heaton, Professor Andrew Heaton, I was going to say. I will also be all over Texas, all over Oklahoma, Ardmore, Oklahoma, September 14th. Wow. And then out to California, November 10th, Sacramento Punchline, December 3rd and 4th. Alameda Comedy Club in Oakland, California, and between that, a million other shows. So go to turnersparks.com. You can find Kaplan at Cap in America on all social media platforms. You can find him in about an hour at Temple.
I will be at Synagogue. I just want to get that clear that I'm not. I'm still going to heaven, right? I'm here. I'm wearing my tallis. I want to show you that I'm ready to go.
You guys have to watch this on YouTube.
Watch this on YouTube. I'm wearing the kippah. I don't do this every time we interview a German, but this time in particular. So you know, I'm going to get out the door. I'm going to run to the synagogue. I'm going to pray. The first thing I'm going to have to do is pray, apologize for this. But it's like, that's what you're supposed to do, because you're supposed to apologize for all our sins for the year. That's what we do in Rosh Hashanah, to get into the book of life. So it's great to have a sin right before you go. A fresh one. Fresh in the mind.
One last sin. And
one last sin. It's the best day to do it.
Can you turn your mic down just a little bit, Kaplan? I'm afraid it's peaking. But so, one last sin before you go. Kaplan has the yarmulke on. This is really fantastic. And all those words you said in between, it means like a neck scarf, like a handkerchief. Tallis.
It's got the little, this is what, you know.
So we're
what I wear every day, every episode.
Today, we're going to be talking about the German election. We have Sonja Piekart coming up in just a minute to tell us all about that. So Merkel's out, and they're going to... by the end of this month, and there'll be a new chancellor in Germany, and then they'll be doing stuff, I don't know, in Europe. Whatever happens over there, they'll figure it out. Point is, we have new Patreon subscribers, Kaplan.
Yeah.
Patreon.com. If you like this show, go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. For $5 a month, you get me and Kaplan three extra times a week doing our straight comedy podcast live from the bunker. We got all our bunker babes over there listening. We have a bidding war going on over there.
An arms
so
race.
What happened? We had Will Prechuck, our listener, go to $30 a month. We didn't even know you could give us $30 a month. We thought it topped out at 20. Apparently you can. He gave us $30 a month a couple weeks ago, and then Dennis Owens went to 31, and then now Sugar Brady has gone to $31.01. So if you want to be the highest Patreon subscriber,
the top dog,
$31.02 is the asking price.
Go 31.02 or go nuts. Go 30. Go give us $36 today. Like raise it.
Yeah,
raise the bar.
For the Jewish holiday, right?
Exactly. Double high.
What year is it right now? Because it's the Jewish New Year. What's the year? What year?
I don't know.
Whoa!
My kids were like, "Happy 2022." I'm like, "No, that's not how it works. It's not the. It's 57.
It's 5,
80, maybe. I don't know.
Something.
I gotta look it up. 5,000.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy,
what year
Kaplan.
Is this? I'm off to a rough start.
I
was going to go. You know, it's like spoiler alert. I'm going to let the rabbi tell me when I get there. I don't want to look
58.
It up.
58. First of all, it's not even 56. I went on Facebook and just saw someone else posting it. It's like 58 something, 20.
Oh, it's 5782. 5782.
Point so, is, give us $5,782.
Or $57.82 if you're a
no,
cheapskate.
The higher one.
All right.
Kaplan, you're the worst businessman. Okay. Moving on, everybody. All right. So Germany's having an election. Kaplan, what do you know about this election coming up?
I know, so Merkel, as we discussed in a previous episode.
Wait, stop.
Angela Merkel.
Say that again.
Merkel.
There you go.
Like Urkel. We're off to a good start here. So she's stepping out after 16 years. So they're very big shoes to fill, right? But it seems like the guy from her party is not exciting people. You know, he went to visit a flood and he started cracking up. Something about floods make him laugh. I heard that you know, so he's doing poor in the polls, and it seems like the left to center party is doing better, but then they have a parliament, so they got to form coalitions, which we know can always be messy. So they might have to involve the Green Party. They might have to involve some like Communist Party. It seems like a whole mess over there. I don't know.
There's some great parties. I read one. There's a hip hop party.
There's a hip hop party. The best thing is they also have combos with the party. So like they have color combos. They said.
Oh, like a remix.
Well, no, it's like whichever parties they get together, they call the coalition based on the colors of the party. So
oh yeah, like one's like a stoplight party because
stoplight.
It's like red.
It's a red
green,
and green
yellow or something.
Yeah, I'm over the tie-dye party. I don't know.
Like it. I'm excited. Merkel's been there for 16 years. That's a long time.
It's a
I didn't
long
know
reign.
You could stay that long.
Well, she's like Franklin Roosevelt or, you know, that's it's we don't have them anymore. We have term limits. 16 years.
She's like Franklin Roosevelt.
He was in 16 years. She's in better shape, right? She's leaving in better shape, so we'll say
what
that.
What Jewish year did she come into office?
She came in 57, 66, of course. We all know.
Everybody knows. So she's out. I don't know if she's out on purpose or if, like,
I think she retired. I think she stepped away. She said, you know what? I'm very pop. Go out on top. She's accomplished everything. She brought in a lot of immigrants. She saw us through many crises, Germans through multiple crises. And it's time to go and have a few drinks and relax, retire. So she likes to let loose.
So her party, the other thing I learned, I think we learned this last time, but her party is not, in America, we see like, oh, it's a woman running it. They must be liberal, right?
Yeah, she's
Turns
a conservative.
Turns out that party. Isn't. So it's like more right of center. That's confusing to the American brain.
Are
just
women
right off the start?
Are women and Republicans? But yes, confusing.
No, but no, not really. I mean, who? Sarah Palin? No one cares.
Well, Margaret Thatcher, but she's not American either, so that's a bad example. But
if
yeah.
they are, they're nuts. Like that's whatever. Marjorie
Michelle
Green.
Bachman or whatever. Yeah. So yeah.
So anyway, and then there's this. The left party is run by like a boring. Like a finance guy.
He doesn't drink.
So it's all like backwards. Our finance guy, our boring finance guys would be on the right. Anyway, that's all I know. And then somehow the Green Party has to get in. Sonja Piekart, we're very happy, excited to have you on the show. You're in Vienna. You're German, but you're living currently in Austria.
Establish that.
I don't know if
you can speak
what
freely.
Happened,
yes.
If that's on purpose or got kicked out. You have a solo show coming up. Next week, it's in German. It's German cabaret is the art form. It's a style of stand-up. It's called A Sparrow, A Wish, and An Uprising. Sonja, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for doing it. So what did we get right and what did we get wrong?
Sorry, recap.
Yeah, nice little summary you did there. It was actually not so bad, I must say. So we have three chancellor candidates at the moment, and all of them suck. And so you basically just have to vote for a party that doesn't have a candidate. That's really the only thing you can do at the moment to feel good about yourself. So yeah.
Are there parties that don't have candidates?
No, and it's quite... yes, sure. I mean, we have like 20 different parties.
Okay.
It's always been like that in Germany. You always have a lot of different parties, and of course you have those two major ones that have been ruling ever since. But we have a lot of options. We even have an anarchist party.
Nice.
All right.
They I would guess they probably don't have a candidate.
No, right? It's anarchist. What color are they in?
They do have a candidate. Oh. I don't think they even got to choose a color. the only promise that they ever make is that they're going to give everybody who voted for them a crate of beer. And I think they always keep that promise. So,
nice.
Yeah. Oh, they find out everyone who voted for them and they go.
But
they better not buy the
something
beer.
Something like that. There's also.
That's what I think. They better steal it,
that's
right?
That's true.
Or else they're not true anarchists. So, okay, so let's go through the top candidates. To start out, let's go through the top candidates. So we have, Merkel's party is the Christian Democratic Union, correct?
The CDU.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's right. So they're the conservative, I would say. I wouldn't say, like, some people might call them far right, but I would disagree. They're more conservative.
Okay, yeah, everything we read is that they're center right.
Yeah,
and what's going on with Armin Laschet? He's the new
he's the guy.
He's the person taking over the party.
Armin Laschet. Okay. he's the one taking over.
Armin Gilliam.
It's like that is a weird pronunciation, but I guess, yeah. Armin Laschet is the candidate for that party. And he made a lot of mistakes. He had, really high rankings at the beginning. And then he fucked it all up by just, doing stupid things like laughing in the back of an interview during a flood crisis. And it really felt like, oh, you're not taking things seriously here. And you really should.
floods can be funny though. In defense,
if you're not involved, for sure. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they caught him in a bad moment, but then again, it's kind of your job not to be caught in a bad moment. And he was on TV the other day in one of those which is normally a duel. Between the two candidates, but now we have three, so it's a trial or. Trial. I don't know how you would pronounce it. Even the Germans don't know how to pronounce it. So they had a discussion there, and he was talking about like, oh, don't you guys feel the wind of change that is going through Germany? And in these times, we have to stand still. And he just completely fucked it up. Where it was like, oh. If you want to change, then maybe you shouldn't stand still. So, but he was like confusing the going for stability on the one hand and for change on the other hand, and he didn't really get it right, so it was a bit of an embarrassing situation there.
It's tough for these kind of people because on one hand change sounds cool. If you're a candidate, you always want to say change. You're like, we need change, no matter, and then you can just say that. You don't have to say what the change is, you just say we need change. But then if you're in his position, you're taking over a party that's been in power for 16 years. You don't really want change. You want everything to stay the same because change means that you wouldn't be the party in power anymore, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's also a big problem with him. Really announcing what he's trying to do in the future and at the same time not talking shit about Merkel. Who's just been around for so long and basically been his boss all this time. So, it's a little bit difficult for him.
So how is her popularity, Merkel, like going out? Is she like loved by everybody? Is she divisive? Does half the people hate her, half the people love her? Or how does it work?
I think it's a bit difficult to say because she's more loved than you would think. I think that for a lot of people, it was like, she is very much on the right. And for a lot of leftist liberal people, of course, they are not fine with her politics regarding the unemployment situation, also gay marriage, issues like that, because she was always very conservative there. But of course, she was such a hero during the refugee crisis of 2015, where she just basically gave everybody a chance to come to Germany and live a life here. And I think people were super happy about that and also surprised. Nobody thought that this would happen with a conservative chancellor. And then she just showed her social abilities, I would say. So, and she's quite loved because of that. And also because I think that she has so much integrity and people feel like she's the least corrupt person to ever be in power. And that's kind of a nice thing that you don't really want to give up. And also, if you look at the alternatives, you know.
So why is she leaving? We had some guesses, but were we anywhere close?
She's tired. I mean, 16 can years. You imagine 16 years? Wow. That is so long to be under this constant pressure. I mean, I already feel like I'm 36 now. I feel like, oh God, I would be too old for this job. And she's, I don't know, late 60s or something. And yeah, after 16 years, I think. And then also, I think what was the worst thing for her to happen at the end of all of this was the corona crisis. And to constantly be under attack because of that. And I feel like it's just, yeah, you're just going to throw in the towel at a certain point.
So is this the end of a term, or did she just call it like in the middle? Like, I'm done. I'm out. That's a new election.
It's the end of a term.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Were people not happy with her with coronavirus, you were saying, or with the way she was handling things? Or are you just saying that
I mean, was anybody happy with anything concerning the coronavirus?
True. Good point.
I mean, you're going to be under attack no matter what. So, you know, I just feel like whatever you do, you're going to piss people off. And I think what a big problem was here, I have no idea what that's like in the States, actually, because I would say, you know, Germany in comparison to Austria is such a big country, but smaller than the States, obviously. but what we do a lot is we have this federalism problem, I would say, is that everything is state law. Really everything. So it sometimes feels like the entire country as a whole doesn't really know where it's going, because everything, like every state makes their own decisions. And then during a crisis like that, it's unbelievable. I have friends who worked in the same band, for example, and two of them lived in one state and they got funding during the corona time, and they got money to make up for the money they lost. And then the person living on the border to the next state, 20 kilometers from there, didn't get anything. And it's like, you have the same job, but your state laws are different. So, yeah. And I think that's a huge problem that she was also facing, where everybody was asking stuff of her that she couldn't really do because it wasn't her choice to make. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exact same thing happened here. So, for example, in New York, if you want to go to a restaurant right now or go to a comedy show, you have to show a card that says you're vaccinated, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a city law.
And then in Texas, I'm going to Texas next week to do comedy shows. It's illegal to ask someone to wear a mask.
Let alone a vaccine card.
Forget the vaccine card. Forget.
I mean, you can
vaccinated.
Wear a mask, but you can't make them wear a mask. People
you
are allowed
can't
to wear
make,
one.
Yeah. If someone comes into your restaurant or your comedy club, it is illegal to ask them to wear a mask.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So different. It's the same thing here. Whether it was Trump or whether it's Biden, they can't do much in that sense. Yeah. The states
federalism.
All decide for themselves.
Federalism as well, so.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, I would think so, because also with it being such a big country, of course, it makes sense to divide it up into smaller pieces and say, okay, you take care of your population here. But if it's about issues like that, where it's like, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the way. Yeah, I didn't actually totally even get that until this all came up. I was like, wow, I didn't realize how much power the states had. Mm-hmm. So Armin Laschet, or however I'm saying it, I just said it French. I don't know why. So all we know about him so far is he laughs
at floods.
A flood, and he laughs. He thinks that's hilarious. People are dying. Ha ha ha. So funny. And then he kind of just wants to sort of continue on with Merkel's, however she governed, which is fine, except for he also wants change. One of his main competitor is the Social Democratic Party, Olaf Scholz. Am I saying that right? He's the leader of that party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
Saying it right. Yeah.
Bang, I nailed it. And then Olaf, what's his deal? What's going on with Olaf? Because he was like nothing, what, 3 or 4 or 5 months ago? And now he's in first place?
I think it was quite obvious already, I think a year ago, that he would be running for chancellor for the next elections. So, but even back then, people said, God, he's the most boring person ever in the history of politics. And he's just, every time I see him on TV, I'm like, huh, I forgot what he looked like. Yeah. And I'm going to forget again. It's just, yeah, it's almost like.
And even like after Merkel, I mean, Merkel was not, you know, she wasn't like made like for, she wasn't a big TV, like, hey, ooh, wah, wah, look at me, everybody person.
Yeah, that's true.
And now he's boring compared to her even.
Yeah, but she wasn't really boring because she did have a personality. It was just not a very media compelling personality, but it was a personality. He is just whatever. And he also now, he just finds himself in the position where both of the other candidates fucked it up so bad for themselves that he's just basically in the middle of this thinking, okay, just don't do anything wrong. So better don't do anything because, you know,
is it win by default? You just don't say anything.
This is the Biden strategy as well. Remember, Cap, he didn't like. Yeah, but Biden, Joe Biden didn't even really like go do. Well,
he didn't leave his basement
because of coronavirus, and he's 112 years old. He never left his basement, and so it was just stay inside, don't be on TV ever, and let the other people lose.
But Biden also has a personality where he can say the wrong thing if you let him talk. Whereas this guy sounds like he just puts you to sleep when he talks. Right? He doesn't even.
Yeah, it's super hard to listen. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're just listening to him on TV. You're like, you've been talking for 5 minutes. I don't remember a thing.
He's like the opposite of Trump, really, when he comes out.
Is it that he doesn't have points? He doesn't have there's no like point in what he's saying, or like he's meandering, or how is it?
There's no point, really. It's really, I guess he's a very good representative of the Social Democrats in general, because it's like, okay, we're trying to be somewhat on the left, but also we want to be in the government. And so we're just always kind of in between and not really standing for anything and not really going through with the things that we want to stand for. So, and that's really where he finds himself as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I read that he wanted to like, what was it? He wants climate change reform, right? He wants to like fix the climate. But was he the one, or was it the other guy who said not if it impacts the economy?
I mean, they all say that.
they all say that. So that's not necessarily. I mean, it's probably if you want to fix the climate, it will impact the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but I think that's, of course, nothing that anybody would want to say because that
voters
costs
don't like
you
that.
Votes. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So his strategy is just don't really be much of anything, but it seems to be working. Why is it working? Because he's in first now.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Maybe Germany is confused altogether. I have no idea. I think that after 16 years of, of course, we also have to say it was a big coalition. So it was the Social Democrats with the Conservative Party together. And I think maybe everybody wants to go a little bit more to the left because there are really pressing issues in Germany that really have to be fixed and haven't been fixed over the past 16 years, especially as far as unemployment is concerned. So I guess that's a thing why everybody's just like, oh, I guess we'll vote for him then. Yeah,
that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And the big hope from the Green Party, I don't know, should we talk about that already, or are you guys getting to that? I don't know.
Sure,
what your
plan
is.
Let's talk Greens. The
no, there's Greens. No plan. Whatever you want to talk about.
All right, I see.
Any party you
we
want.
We have a plan. Kaplan's he's halfway out the door.
Hold on, I got to do a prayer right now. I got to turn to the west.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. So
Greens.
The Greens, who are, if we're honest, the only party that really wants to work against the climate change. And they put up a candidate, which has never happened. And she's the first one now that had an actual chance. And everybody, you know, especially in my my leftist artist bubble was like, yeah, she's a woman. And I was like, have you looked at what she stands for? No, she's a woman.
Yeah.
You know how it is. So everybody really wanted to vote for her because everybody loves the Green Party, at least to a certain extent. And it's like, yeah, we definitely need this. And she's also quite young and seemed like, yeah, that would be a good choice. So everybody wanted to vote for her. And then she also just destroyed it for herself with like writing a book where she basically copied someone else's work and didn't cite it. And
plagiarism, yeah,
is a complete fuck up. And yeah, that happened, and that was already like, it's bad, but maybe we can forgive that. And then it turned out that there was a 5-figure income that she didn't declare, and she just said, "Oh, I forgot." Whereas, yes, like,
that you want to be everybody.
Right.
Welcome to politics.
Yeah, she's a joke stealing comedian who doesn't pay her taxes. No.
Wait, so she's not a joke stealer. What was her book about? Normally, if you're a politician, your book is about yourself. So how, you know, what did she steal about herself? Or is it not a biography?
No, it was not a biography. No, I don't know. I think it was just something about her plans for the future Germany. And
she stole the plan from someone else. Come on, lady.
It was like an environmental, like policy book or something? Yeah, it's probably like. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Who has time to, she assumed nobody's going to read the other one anyway. So I can't believe someone caught her.
She probably just translated a Ralph Nader book or something like that.
I mean, you know, Joe Biden once stole a whole speech from a guy in England, like when he ran for president in the 80s. And he just changed the words like chips to fries and stuff like that. And before the internet, he thought he would get away with it. But then he said football or no, soccer. No. But yeah, he got busted on that. So, but then he came back and he was president many years later. So there's hope for her in the future.
What speech?
When she's almost dead, she can run for president.
It was like a stump speech about something and like some story about working class. I don't know. He just like stole from some Labour Party leader in England. I forget the specifics, but he just literally did the entire same theme and everything. And
you know, I just like that speech, for a political speech, you would have the words fries and football in it.
Yeah, well, so. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm joking on that. Working class.
Well, you would in America. Okay. So what is? Wow. Yeah. So none of these candidates are that great. What do they do campaigning? What does campaigning look like in Germany? You know, here it's like a football stadium, 80,000 people, fireworks,
kissing babies.
Oh man, throwing babies across the room. There's like a lot going on. Everybody's have shirts and hats and America hats. What's it? And usually there's fights in the stands between the two different people. What's it like in Germany? Is it similar to that?
No. I mean, you know, we Germans, we don't really like to raise our flag that much because, you know, patriotism is not really.
Slippery slope.
As Kaplan sitting there in a yarmulke. I see. Yeah, yeah. Historical reasons.
Yeah. Just say, you know, make Germany great again would not be something that would work here. It's
a little problematic.
Like, no, I was referring to the World Cup we won.
Yeah.
I was referring to the West German years when, yeah.
And that's where the football comes in again. Yeah. Now it's, campaigning. I mean, yeah, of course they do stuff like that just on a very much smaller scale, I would say. I think everything here in Europe is smaller than over there. So, they do the same things, but they have smaller rooms and it's not, there's just less patriotism. There's just like, okay, we have this country. Let's do something with it.
let's not screw it up.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Let's get this right.
Mm-hmm.
So when people go to vote, because I read that there's an app that Germans are using where you put in all of your like your issues that are important to you,
mm-hmm.
and then it tells you who to vote for.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What's the main way that people decide who to vote for? Because us, it's like, we're like, oh, I'd like, this is quite literally what American people will say. They go, I like George Bush because he's someone I could have a beer with. And so that's why they vote for him, because they could have a beer with him. Right, Kaplan? I'm not making this up.
I mean, that is, they say that the undecided voters, those like few people who are not a member party, like the likability factor. It's always like, yeah, like Trump.
They like him, or like Bill Clinton got elected because he played a saxophone on the Jay Leno show.
Yeah,
people were like, wow, he's cool. And he wore sunglasses. They're like, he's cool. Let's vote for him.
But this Olaf Scholz guy does not sound like a guy you're having a beer with. So I don't know.
He doesn't play saxophone.
He don't play the saxophone. No.
So I think he never does anything. I don't think he has friends.
And what about, do they bring in? No. Oh, sorry. So what's it like? I'll let you speak. I apologize.
No, I don't know, really. I think that this app is actually quite helpful. I did it too. It's... turns out I'm a communist. Yay.
oh, there you go.
So, yeah, sometimes you're surprised. Sometimes you do it and it's like, oh, didn't know that about myself, but okay.
Yeah.
But also I was also surprised that the questions they ask are often very specific to a point where you feel like, I need to look this up. I have no idea about this topic. I don't know what my opinion is on this. And also sometimes it gets just way too complicated where you're like, yeah, I could see both sides of it. So I don't know. Mm. I'm not a politician, unfortunately, or fortunately. And then in that app, they didn't have like the most pressing things. They didn't even ask for like Corona politics or the Afghanistan situation or.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like, oh, you didn't, don't even want to know. Okay. Yeah.
The app was made 3 years ago, or so they don't.
Yeah,
they can't update it.
They didn't update. It's too much too much work. Yeah,
you got to get the new update. So what? Like, what might they ask then? Like, oh, what do you do at a stop sign? Should you stop or go? Or like, what type of stuff are they asking?
Do you plagiarize when you write a paper? No.
Do you like jaywalking? They ask stuff like. Are you for or against the Nord Stream 2 pipeline?
That kind of stuff.
That kind of stuff.
I'm for it. I'm for other countries ruining the environment, not us. So.
Yeah. And of course, what else was there? Tax stuff. Of course, easy stuff like, should we tax the rich? Yeah, we should. But if you're married, but you have two kids from your previous marriage and now you have another kid from the next one, should that mean tax reductions for the previous marriage? Where it's like, I don't know. I've never been in this situation.
A divorce tax? Asleep. You get benefits from being divorced or having second wife
fall
tax?
Fall asleep halfway through that question. What about celebrity endorsements? Do they do that? Mm. Like here in the U.S., you know, if you want to win, you got to have like, Jennifer Lopez say that you're the best.
In Germany, it's David Hasselhoff. They need David Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff? Get in my car.
Are you aware of this? This thing that he actually believes that he was the cause for the fall of the Berlin Wall?
Yes, I think I did read that.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Heard it was the band. It was the band. Like, was it the Scorpions?
Uh huh.
One of those 80s metal bands, 80s rock bands, took down the Berlin Wall or something. But I think it was Hasselhoff. So yeah, does that happen? Do you get celebrity? Does it matter? Well, people say, I'll vote for that person if Chris Rock votes for that person, you know, or whatever celebrity. I don't know.
I'm so
Jennifer Lopez and Chris Rock.
Those are your best references.
Jennifer Lopez and Chris Rock.
I am sorry to say this, but you are such a weird country. It's unbelievable.
You really teeter up there. I mean.
I'm not making this up. These are real things.
Well, people say that celebrities do events for people. I don't know if it makes people who know who these people are.
Well, Boss is a big one. So Robert De Niro, he was a big celebrity endorser. Type,
yeah, he likes
right? Oh, really?
They go to Amy Schumer. That's what ended her career.
And Scott Baio endorsed Trump. That was a big one.
You don't even know if you know who that is. He's like a low level American celebrity. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So is that a big deal in Germany?
Not at all.
Like, are people waiting to find out who you are voting for so they can decide who to vote for?
No. I mean, there was a little bit of a scandal lately with one guy who got together a bunch of actors and actresses to do like a bit of a protest video against the corona management of the government. So everybody was supposed to satirically say something into the camera, and they put it together, made a video out of it. And it was a huge outrage because it was very tasteless. And they were, you know, they were going for satire, but there was, for example, there's this one actor who was saying, thanks to the government, I now get to hit my children more often. And because it was about like the domestic violence being on the rise during the lockdown. But it was all done so poorly and it was super awkward. And everybody was really upset with it. And then it turned out that the guy who actually got all of these people together was a huge anti-vaxxer, and he also was a big part of a party that is now running. That's basically the anti-vaxxer party, you could say. And that is also saying that the virus makes you feel better. Yeah. Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because you have those people too. Yeah. I'm glad we're not, you know, it's not just us.
Every country has crazy people. We're not,
Yeah.
But, so I can't. So if I hit my kids, that means I'm an anti-vaxxer? Let me just, no.
I guess that's what those mean.
It means because you're locked in the house. I don't understand.
Cap, we had this when the coronavirus started last year and everyone was in, we did like a 2-week lockdown in America.
It was longer. You always say 2 weeks.
2 weeks. It was 2 weeks to stop the spread. In New York was longer, but I was in Virginia at that time.
Oh, right.
A lot of states for 2 weeks. They did, all the celebrities in America did this like video where they sang We Are the World that was supposed to be like, we'll put a video online of us singing and then that will heal everyone and then the virus will be over. And everyone just made fun of it because it was like totally out of touch, made no sense. It didn't work. But Cap, we got to pause real quick for an ad break. So everybody, for $20 a month, this is how we do ads, Sonia, because we got sick of waiting for these companies to like advertise with us.
Well,
we said, screw the companies. What's happening with us? If our Patreon subscribers give us $20 a month, they get one ad per month on this show.
Yeah, we can be bought by only by our people. We don't get bought by big companies, big corporations.
No, only by humans. And we have a price. It's $20 a month.
$20.
And we'll say whatever you want for 45 seconds to a minute, something like that. So this show is brought to you by the great Will Prechuck. Will P is a proud supporter of Royal Union St. Gilloys.
Okay.
The quiet streets of southern Brussels have, I think that's a football team. That's a soccer team, would say. The quiet streets of southern Brussels have never been more alive now that USG has triumphantly returned to the top flight of Belgium football after 50 long years in the minors.
Wow, good congrats.
Work. Oh my gosh. They premiered last month by defeating their 100-year rival Anderlecht in the season opener. And now they stand at number one in the league overall.
Top of the table.
Let's go, Royal. In the table, yes. Join and celebrate with, this is a long ad.
He's paying us $31 though, so.
That's true. Join and celebrate with the dedicated fans as they return to the scenic Stade Joseph Marien in gorgeous Parc des Forêts.
Wow.
Brussels, and watch as they continue their return to stardom. Catch them on ESPN Plus from time to time or through other means from fans at home and far away. Allez, le Union, allez, says the great Will Prechuck. How about that?
Well, I know which team I'm going to take in FIFA, the video game now, and play a whole season. I'm going to win a championship and picture Will cheering me on in the stands. So good.
There you go. Also, one more ad before we move on. We are the members of the World's Smartest Podcast Network.
We are.
Of course, that is us. That is Professor Andrew Heaton, and it is Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy. Andrew Heaton has the Political Orphanage podcast, and Andrea Jones-Roy has a brand new podcast called Majoring in Everything. Subscribe to that with Andrea Jones-Roy on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you were subscribed to her old show, it's the exact same feed. So I think we're both going to be on there soon.
Oh, yeah. I got to figure out what I'm going to talk about.
The Majoring in Everything. That's her job to figure out what you're talking
about. What am I producing for? I'm just going to show up.
Yeah, you chill. You speak. That's all good to go. All right. Now a word from our local sponsors. All right, we're back. Thank you very much, local sponsors. We always love having you with us.
Love the local.
I wonder what our local sponsor will be, because they put in these ads, Sonia, and they're different no matter
where you
depending on where you live in the world.
Oh,
I wonder what
I
our
see.
German. I wonder what's going to be in German.
Or in Austria.
Oh.
Or in Austria.
Yeah. Well,
here
I'm
they tell
know.
Us. Yeah, let us know. Here they tell us to like go skiing in Vermont, which is close.
Okay.
But when I'm in California, they say go skiing in Lake Tahoe. Mostly it's about skiing.
So they're going to say go skiing in where's the closest ski place?
The Alps,
right? Yeah. Or the
I don't know.
Yeah, probably. No, I was just thinking because I have a friend who has a podcast. It's a true crime podcast, and she got a brand deal with a sex toy company.
So, we don't know until they drop in the ad. It could be anything. So.
It was, and it can be so inappropriate. I mean, with your topic, I think it's all gonna be fine. But you know, she just has a lot of like femicide and rape cases that she's discussing on that podcast.
Sex
toys.
Hey, what? Everybody has a price, as we say. Yeah. You know. Whatever you do, you got to make a living in this world.
Uh-huh.
I have a question. What do people in Austria think of my former governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, who's he into?
Well, what do we think of him? I think people make a lot of fun of him.
We love him in California. I'm from California. I'm from Sacramento.
Oh, really?
Which is where he governed when he was our governor. Oh. And actually, at the beginning of this podcast and every podcast, we have Arnold Schwarzenegger on.
Oh, he's
voice
part of a song
saying, "When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento." That's a
oh, that is
quote
his is his voice, right? Yeah, I was wondering.
Yes.
I was like, I've heard that before. Yeah, okay.
And it's because I'm from Sacramento, so we put it in there. It's the first time any celebrity and last time they've ever mentioned Sacramento, so we had to get the clip.
Sweet. No.
So what do people think of?
Not a point of pride
did
anymore.
Governor, that's like a pretty big feat. You know?
Well,
and
it's
a huge movie star.
Yeah, definitely. My ex-boyfriend actually is from the area where he used to live or where he grew up in Styria, in Austria. And he knew his neighbor, and no, his cousin. So he was his cousin's neighbor, basically. And this cousin of Arnold Schwarzenegger had a business card saying Paul Schwarzenegger, and below it said cousin of Arnold Schwarzenegger. That was the only thing that brought him close to fame in his life. So he thought
that's
just
the new goal for all of us to get so famous that our cousins' business cards say cousin of us on their name.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Yeah. And he was like a bodybuilding champion. I mean, the guy did it all.
Oh, yeah.
Did it all. Good person to be
absolutely
a cousin with. Is his cousin ripped at least or no?
I have no idea. We never met, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
I would have been curious.
It's a lot of pressure.
So how do you pick... well, I guess, no, let's go here. So what happens if it looks so like the Green Party is in third place right now, right? The lady with the lady who's
the plagiarist.
The plagiarist. Let's just say it how it is. Yeah.
The plagiarist is in third place. But from what I've read, they're probably going to get into government because either either one of the top two parties will have to like form a union with them, a coalition to be able to get in. So it's almost better to be in third place than it is to be in first or second, right?
It might be, actually. So, I also have a feeling that they're definitely going to be in the government. And it's just a question of who they're going to be with. So it might be the traffic light, which I don't hope for, but...
The traffic light is the conservative...
Wait, explain the traffic light. What parties is that?
The traffic light would be the Social Democrats, the Green Party and the Liberal Party. Now, liberal in Germany means something completely different than it means over there with you guys. I mean, it comes from the same thing, but it sort of went like this. So this party, which used to be kind of cool 20, 30 years ago, is now basically at below 5% all the time. And they only take care of like really, really rich people. It is basically economic liberalism. So
the Libertarian Party.
Yeah,
we would say libertarian.
Oh, yeah, right. Is that libertarian then? Okay, I see.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kind of. Libertarian is they want the government out of everything. So that means don't tax me.
Yeah.
Or minimal.
But also it means like I get to have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
But also it means I get to have an abortion. So they're like,
oh, yeah. I see. Because I always thought that libertarian was sort of more on the far right side.
On economics, maybe, but not on social, very liberal. Even to the
social,
left,
social, very liberal.
Yeah, pro gay marriage.
It's just no government. Just it's like get out of my way, government. Oh, so like, that could be good and bad. Depending
it's slightly
on
more
topic.
Responsible version of anarchists.
Yeah,
like, it's anarchists, but wearing like a Brooks Brothers suit. But yeah,
it's anarchists who went to college.
Exactly. Yeah. Took some economics classes.
Okay, so the liberal, are they red?
They're yellow.
They're the yellow. They're yellow because they're caution. Okay. They're the.
They're caution.
I'm trying to do the light. Red is stop sign. It's traffic.
So and then what is it? So if they get in,
how would they have a coalition? It's so wild. Those three.
Is that the most probable scenario?
I have no idea at the moment what the percentages are. So yeah, I'm not an expert on that, I'm afraid.
And what'll it mean? Because Germany has played a big role in Europe, right? And the EU, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? You're like the number one country in the EU.
Yeah.
First place in the EU.
Especially now that England's gone. You don't have any competition.
So is there anyone who is, does that play into this election at all? Are some people like, we need to be more in like controlling in Europe, or other people like, we need to pull back and be less? Or does everyone think the same?
As a country, as just our responsibility in the European Union, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's the AfD party. I don't know if you've heard of those. They are for the Jexit, one might call it.
Jexit. Oh, Gexit.
The Gexit.
German exit.
Yeah,
Jexitus.
Yeah, Jexitus, yeah.
Jexitus.
No, there are, honestly, you could pretty much say they're the Nazi party. They're beyond far right. Like, it's really terrible.
Nazi's not allowed, right? They're not allowed to have a Nazi party legally, right? You can't call yourself that, but you can call yourself.
We can. You can't.
Well, we can. We have free speech, but yeah.
We have Nazi parties in America.
But of course, in Germany, a lot of things aren't allowed anymore, like certain symbolism and stuff. And of course, they're going to avoid that. But yeah, they are very, very much on the right. And they want Germany to leave the European Union. And which is what is very depressing about that party, because, you know, there's always been far-right parties in Germany, but they were always really small. And now these actually, they are in some state governments. So it's super depressing. And they also stole a lot of voters from the far-left side, which is interesting, because there was a lot of people that were just, you know, poor working class, and they felt disenfranchised, and then thought, you know, those communists haven't been doing much for us, or socialists, or whatever. Let's just move on to the complete other side and say everything is the foreigners' fault. So we're going to go with those now.
Well, both sides don't like free trade, you know, as much, you know, and internationalism, I guess. So there is a similarity where they kind of meet.
It's same with here, right?
Yeah,
exactly. The far right and the far left. Yeah, they both want to pull back from the world, and they both want to support local, buy local.
Yeah, German first.
buy local.
So, and what is it? So, what would it mean for the world, one way or the other, if the, say, Merkel's former party wins, or the boring guy wins?
Honestly. I don't know what it would. I feel like these people are often so interchangeable.
Okay. So they're too similar. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everybody really wants to represent the largest number of the population, no matter what. And they just very much move away from their own ideologies. And yeah. So it's basically, I don't really know if it would make a huge difference. But I might be wrong.
I think that's good. That's a win for us, right? Because Germany's been fine so far. So just keep going.
Just keep Germany fine.
Just keep Germany fine. That should be the slogan.
Keep Germany, make America great again. Keep Germany fine. Okay.
Just keep going. Just keep doing what you're doing, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
What about for you? Comedy wise, are you, you perform in English and German,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
And do you find those scenes different, very different? The German comedy scene, the German language comedy scene, sorry, the English language?
I mean, it depends. That's a huge topic. I think that...
We have 3 minutes left. No, I'm kidding.
Cool.
No. We can go for as long as that.
So the big thing in Austria and Germany is the old cabaret tradition. So that has been around for really long. And then over the past, 10, 20 years, comedy has now become a thing. And as I already said, you can't really say where the differences are. It's a bit, but of course, both sides are going to talk shit about the other side. And for a lot of people, when they hear the word comedy in Germany or Austria, they think of like really superficial dick jokes, and they don't see anything critical or satirical because they attribute that to cabaret. So, but yeah, okay. The comedy scene is definitely on the rise here. And of course, there are a lot of expats, a lot of people from the States or from England. And they put up a really nice English stand-up scene here, and it's super fun. Yeah.
And do you, like, what's the trajectory of a comedian in Austria or Germany? Meaning, like, is it to get a TV sitcom or to put out, like, comedy specials? Or to host a late night show? Is it, where does the career go?
Yeah,
I don't mean for you specifically. I mean, like, what a, you know.
Well, I hope for me.
What do you mean?
No, really. I mean, all of that, of course. Of course, it's also never going to be the chances that you guys have there with, like, you are good at your job. You now have world fame. And if we
That's us.
Yeah.
That's us.
If we're really good at our jobs, we are still in Austria.
Well, so, because the language. Probably,
because
right?
The language, of course. And then also, you know, just pop culture. Because we just take everything from the States, and you also wash over us with everything.
We send our Hasselhoffs over there. And,
wash over. Hasselhoffs. But he's Canadian.
You send
Canadian,
us Schwarzenegger,
right?
We send you Hasselhoff.
I heard he's Canadian, David Hasselhoff. Yeah.
Big scandal. He hides it well.
Big scandal. We don't know. We don't know. It's hard to tell. These Canadians walk
they
amongst
sneak
us.
In. They walk amongst us.
They sneak in.
Yeah. And you can't tell it from the accent. Yeah.
You can't. They can change a boot to about, and then all of a sudden they're from the United States. That's the only difference.
He went to a voice coach, and yeah.
There's one word they pronounce differently.
So that's it. Okay.
So it's... tour. I see you're touring though with your show, right?
Yes. I'm pretty much always touring because, if I were just doing this in Vienna, that would be a little bit too small at a certain point. And I'm not that famous yet that I can just, fill a huge room every night or not even once a week. And also, I don't know what it's like. I'd be interested, actually, what it's like in the States right now, because we suffer from very, very... receding ticket sales, and people aren't really going to theaters anymore, and it's super depressing because everybody apparently is afraid of the fourth wave. And is that the same for you guys, or
not? Turner Spark shows, they're sold out.
Yeah.
I'll say this, the quick answer is no. It's
people
not
are
like
buying
that.
Up yeah
but yeah? It's not because we don't have coronavirus. We most certainly do have it. There's 150,000 new cases every day in the United States. Mm-hmm. But people who are vaccinated have kind of just decided that
it's
I can't wait. Like, well, it's like, what are we going to do? Like in America, they don't force you to get vaccinated, mm-hmm. right? And so, and there's probably 20% of Americans who will never get vaccinated no matter what.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what's the question? Then do you just wait forever until those 20% of people, or do you go back to your life saying, hey, I'm protected as much as I can be protected.
Yeah.
And let's go back. Like, otherwise you're waiting forever and ever. So I think a lot of people, and in New York State, like I said, you have to be vaccinated to go to comedy clubs, including a lot of other events. So I noticed that once they put that vaccination thing in for New York State, the ticket sales went up.
Well, I also think that there's people who are nervous, who aren't going to do it, but they're made up for by people who are just so dying to get out of the house. So they're just so dying to do things again. So there's just so much demand for all sorts of sports and concerts and everything right now, shows.
Yeah, if you look at football games, they're all sold out. And it's state by state in terms of what people are, what the rules are. But overall, I think people are just like, we're moving on. Enough.
That's really cool. I wish I was there.
Hey.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a combination of the people who never are going to get vaccinated, they never stop going out to begin with.
That's
true. Like, it's fake. It doesn't exist, blah, blah. And then now the people who are vaccinated, which is about 70%, or no, it's, what is it? 70% of adults have at least one shot in the United States now.
Maybe not quite, but.
It's about that number. Yeah.
Okay.
It's 60% have one shot. 60% have. Oh, no, I'm wrong. You're right, Cap.
It's 65%. Like 65. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 65% have at least one shot. So those people, that's like 200 million people. Mm-hmm. So they're just like, we're moving on. We're not waiting for you people. So,
yeah.
I don't know. So you guys, I see it's a little tough to sell tickets. And what about the German language scene? Do you see that there's more opportunity there than the English language scene? Within Germany and Austria?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in Germany, you have a complete infrastructure already. And of course, you can get TV shows. And of course, I mean, it's because it's the language they speak here. All the English stuff is very much, it always stays in a bit of a tiny bubble. And it's a lot of shows in bars. There aren't any actual comedy clubs. I think you did comedy in China, right?
Yeah, with Pascal Hauser. That's how we got connected. It's through my friend Pascal. I started a started a club in Shanghai. We opened a club in Shanghai.
Oh, you opened a club there. Okay, cool.
Yeah, which is not there anymore. It was there for about 8 years. But we started in bars like that. There was no scene at all. There was no English or Chinese language scene. So we just started an English language scene. And then a Chinese language scene kind of came out of our English scene with Chinese people who wanted to do it in Chinese.
And it
kind of took off like that. And they're doing very well. What about making Germans laugh? Making Germans laugh is very difficult.
Making Austrians laugh is very difficult.
Is it? Is it more difficult than Germans?
Yes.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. And I know you shouldn't think that, but because of course the Germans have the reputation for being very uptight, but no, not at all. From comedy, I can say that in Germany is so much easier.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are Austrians like? Germans come to our club in Shanghai and they would always be the toughest.
Really?
They would be the hardest to make laugh, but then after the show, they'd be the ones, they would come up to you and be like, that was great. That was great. Yeah. Ooh, we loved it. But they wouldn't laugh. I'd be like, okay, well, maybe just laugh then at the show. I think it's so great. You know, that help. That would help.
Oh God, I know people like that too. And they're like, it's always the people in the front row and they're just sitting there like, and then they walk up to you afterwards and say, this was the best thing I've seen in years.
But yeah, and you're like, what? Oh, how about you act like it?
Yeah. I've actually had a friend, she also did some comedy for a while, and there was a guy at her solo show who said he wanted to film the whole thing, but he didn't say it to her. He said it to everybody in the audience and asked them to not laugh because that would... be bad for the filming.
What? Oh my, what?
We
don't want laughter.
Did he go to jail?
And she's
that should
just,
be illegal.
She's just doing 1.5 hours to complete silence.
Oh.
That's hard. Yeah.
That's like an act of terrorism.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This is the kind of thing that happens here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And,
well, do you ever, have you gotten outside of Germany, Austria yet with the English language comedy?
Yeah, I did shows in Hungary, Paris, Rome.
Cool.
Yeah, so Slovakia, which is always real fun.
Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you ever come to New York, let us know.
Oh, I sure will.
Yeah, I got a show here you can do.
So cool.
Anytime you come.
Well, if you ever come here and you want to learn some German.
You want to make Germans not laugh and stand, but enjoy the show.
Yeah.
She'll help.
I'll go bomb in Germany. Why not? Sounds good. Sonia Picard, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you, guys.
I think the answer we got out of this, Kaplan, is that either side, they're kind of the same. So we should relax.
There's not going to be partying in the streets no matter who wins, it sounds like, or who I mean, the election's in a couple weeks, and then how long does it take for the coalition to form? Do we know when we'll get an answer?
I have no idea. I think, yeah, a couple of weeks usually, maybe two weeks. Okay, so. Yeah.
And then can they stay as long as they want, like Merkel did?
There's elections every 4 years, but you can go on forever, basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what's an important answer I did get? Because it came through from a publicist. David Hasselhoff's people want us to tell everybody he's American. Born in America. Not a Canadian. Fake news. Born in Maryland. So that we did solve one thing here.
He does seem Canadian, though, because he's like a little bit off.
A little funky. Yeah. Maybe he spent some time
slightly
there.
Off. That's it. Sonia Picard, thank you for doing the show. Everybody check her out. Check her out online. And you have videos all over on YouTube, so our American audience can check them out. You have English language stuff up too.
Yeah, I do.
Very funny.
Thank you so much.
That's it. You got to go to Rosh Hashanah.
Have a sweet new year. I'm going to put my tie on and race to the synagogue. I'm going to get in the back row and pretend like the shofar is going to be blowing. I'm going to get in the middle so it looks like I've been there the whole time. I'll be sweating and everything. So I'm going to make up for it. So everyone have a happy new year. Sweet new year.
And what should we do?
Lashana Tova. Oh, wait. Get lost.
Get lost.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money.